everybody. It's good to be here, and thanks for your interest in this topic. Steve's work is a kind of a tough act to follow, but I'll do my best here. You can't hear me, sorry. Okay, is this better? Okay. All right, I want to thank our funding partner, the Global Environmental Facility, and want to acknowledge my co-authors here tonight, or today. Dr. Keith Poston is the principal investigator for Component A of this project. Dr. Eleanor Milne is the project coordinator. She's based out of the University of Leicester. Keith and I are at the Natural Resource Ecology Lab at Colorado State University. And we're grateful to all of our collaborators for their work on this project. I'm going to be going over two basic areas of this project. I'm going to be describing the need for project-level greenhouse gas emissions decision support tools, and then I'm going to give you an introduction to the Carbon Benefits Project system. There's been a lot of work over the last couple of decades to develop greenhouse gas inventory tools at the national and the regional level, and that's largely at the impetus of governments, natural resource specialists, and others wanting to know what the emissions of greenhouse gases are from land use practices. And there's been great progress made towards developing tools, starting with the worksheets developed by the IPCC. The most recent version of that came out in 2006 for agriculture, forestry, and other land uses. It's led to work by Stephen Ogle and his group at the NREL developing the agriculture and land use tool. And then our Marcel Bernou at IRD has developed the exact tool for the FAO. And there's been other tools that are coming online. But whereas the work on the national and regional greenhouse gas inventory tools is progressing, well, project scale tools are somewhat elusive. And when I say project, what I mean are tools that are organized around land improvement, soil fertility, reforestation, afforestation, and other projects intended to improve the lives of rural people who are affected by land degradation. Most of the tools that are coming online right now are focusing exclusively or largely on forest biomass, agroforestry, and afforestation projects, largely at the impetus of programs like RED and other things like that. However, I'm going to argue that besides focusing on above-ground biomass, as you see in this diagram, you've also got to focus on all the other emissions that are associated with co-occurring land management practices that often go along with the sorts of activities affecting or that leading to reforestation needs and afforestation needs. These include emissions from cropping, from grain and forage crops, from livestock, and from management of soil. I've got an example here from some work we're doing in Western Kenya in the Lake Victoria region, the Lake Victoria watershed. This graph represents emissions under a baseline or business as usual scenario in a region there, compared with a project scenario for a GEF-funded project that's just getting started right now. Under the baseline scenario, we see that emissions shown on the y-axis here over the length of the project, projected to be 10 years, and the emissions here are in CO2 equivalents. They're projected to increase from about 17,000 tons per year to well over 20,000 tons per year over the life of the project. Whereas under the project scenario, we see that emissions decreasing over time here. But what's interesting about the difference between these is that emissions from livestock and nitrous oxide increase over time, even as emissions associated with deforestation and losses from soil carbon are decreasing over time. The reason why is because that for many land improvement projects, afforestation and reforestation, the problems that lead to these land degradation issues are rarely solved in 1 year. They typically have to be ramped down over time, and as a result, emissions can only be reduced over time. But also with that, in order to address the issues leading to some of the primary issues leading to clearing of land are a lack of food security. And so in order to address that issue, you also have to incorporate including things like cropping intensification, livestock breeding and introducing improved livestock varieties, and also improving access to fertilizers and soil management in that area. And so that whereas you may be able to decrease your emissions associated with deforestation and afforestation, you oftentimes have increased emissions due to other land management activities. And so because of this, we're arguing that a whole system approach really needs to be taken when you're assessing land management for projects and the greenhouse gas emissions. Some of the issues that are led to the carbon benefits project really revolve around the types of projects and the extent that the GEF funds. They provide funding for approximately $350 million in projects every year. Most of those are natural resource management projects focusing on land degradation. Most of these NRM projects claim carbon benefits, but at the present time, the GEF, and I'd argue that most funding agencies like the GEF, NGOs, and governments, don't really have a standardized or cost-effective method in order to assess what the greenhouse gas benefits are across those projects. And so the need emerged for the GEF to have a comprehensive, standardized, and robust tools that could be applied to all of these GEF natural resource management projects. The project goals are to provide a web-based system that's usable in developing countries by natural resource managers, for it to be cost-effective, for there to be end-to-end quantification of the total greenhouse gas flux associated with land use in projects, utilizing IPCC Tier 1 and 2 methods, and then also incorporating a Tier 3 method utilizing a dynamic modeling system. We're providing an uncertainty analysis with it, also some socioeconomic tools, and an effective and immediate help system to eliminate the need for users to have to hire consultants in order to do greenhouse gas inventories for their projects. I'm just going to skip over that slide in the interest of time. The project is global. We're working on, we have cooperating partners in 5 continents, indicated where the icons are and the countries are in gray. And then we have projects, GEF co-funded projects in 4 countries that I'll describe for you now. We're collaborating with people on these projects. The first is in Brazil, in the Cerrado region of Mato Grosso and Rondônia states, where we're working with a team from University of Sao Paulo that are assessing what the greenhouse gas emissions are associated with deforestation and land conversion in that area. In West Africa, on the border between Niger and Nigeria, we're working on a rangeland restoration in that border region of the Sahel, dealing with restoring severely degraded soils to an agroforestry silvopasture condition. In eastern Africa, we're working in, as I described before, in the Lake Victoria watershed, where we're working with partners from the Kenya Agricultural Research Institute to assess how introduction of agroforestry, cropping intensification, and livestock improvement will help improve food security and reduce deforestation in the Kankamanga Forest. And then in Gansu and the Ningxia provinces in China on the Los Plateau, we're working with partners there where previous land management decisions have led to severe soil erosion in that area. They're trying to address that with rangeland restoration and agroforestry plantings. This is a diagram of what the system we're developing looks like. I'm going to walk you through a few of these components here, but I first want to emphasize that we have three different sets of tools we're building for the users to make. The first two are based on the IPCC models. The third is based on is a dynamic modeling system based on the GFSOC system, which we previously developed at the NREL. There's five steps that the user would go through in order to do a greenhouse gas inventory for their project. And this shows some screenshots of the system as it is right now. The first is to define locations. The user locates their project either by drawing polygons or points, as you see on the screen right here, or uploading GIS files. By doing so, they're essentially accessing a number of underlying layers that are used in the modeling. For land cover, we're using the ESA globe cover data set. For soil, the Harmonized World Soils Database. For climate, the IPCC climate system. And for emission factors, we're using the IPCC defaults and also some new data being developed by the International Livestock Research Institute in Nairobi. And the user also has the opportunity to do user-defined emissions, provide user-defined emissions factors. At that point, the user then quantifies areas that are in different land use activity categories for things like annual and perennial crops, agroforestry, grassland, and so on. The user then goes on to a guidance module where we use an interview process designed to advise them as to which of the tools that they should use as part of the toolkit. We also are referring the user to specific sections in these documents to help them with measurement and monitoring that can help them to reduce the uncertainty around their greenhouse gas emissions. These first two are from the Winrock Corporation, and this third is Ravinch and Athan Ostwald's carbon inventory methods, and these three are rapidly becoming standards for measurements in this field. The next step is for the user to enter land use activity data associated with their initial land use, their baseline scenarios, and their project scenarios. So essentially repeat this process three times. The user enters land use activity data associated with each of eight land use activity data types. And those are forest land, grassland, settlements, wetlands, annual crops, perennial crops, agroforestry, and livestock. The user focuses on the land use activities that are being affected by their project. The user selects project activity areas that were defined by the polygons on the project description page, and then goes through and describes specific land management details associated with those polygons. And some examples are, for annual crops, they would enter information about crop rotations, fertilizer, and tillage. For forest lands, they would describe the species or the woody system type, the forest system type, the extent of wood removals and deforestation. And for livestock, they provide a simple livestock census by species. The socioeconomic components include a cost-benefit analysis and the DPSIR framework. The goal of the cost-benefit analysis is to allow the user to tie a traditional CBA cost-benefit analysis to actual land management practices so that they'll have an assessment on the per hectare cost in order to do greenhouse gas mitigation. The DPSIR framework is a socioeconomic framework designed to help users assess what are the factors leading to the adoption or non-adoption of land improvement projects. And then finally, the user is able to produce reports that list the total and the net greenhouse gas emissions by the traditional source sink categories identified by the UNFCCC framework, or also being able to tie the emissions to specific land use classes. And the idea is that reporting could be measurable and comparable across different projects and different land management activities. So just to summarize, our assertion is that whole system accounting is really necessary in gauging the net flux associated with most land improvement projects, and that decisions about which projects to implement and how to implement them should take into account the net greenhouse gas flux coming from those projects. The system we're developing is coming along really well. We expect an initial release in March of 2011. I have a development version of it loaded on my laptop. I'd be happy to meet with any of you to go over it if you're interested. Come see me after the presentation. Some of our the contact information for the three leaders on this project are listed right here. And thank you very much for your time and attention.